Welcome to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. I'm your host, Rachel Ash. If you enjoy this episode today, feel free to send it to a friend in need. If you're listening on Apple, take a moment to write a review. I truly appreciate all of you. You all help keep this podcast alive. If you have any questions or your own fucked up story to share, feel free to slide into my DMs at datingpodcast. To help us grow, click on the support the show link in the description of this episode. By supporting us, you help us expand our content and upgrade the show. Get early access to episodes and exclusive perks. Subscribe now on Patreon. Sitting there with the view of the sunset hitting the beautiful yacht-soaked waters of the Fort Lauderdale Intracoastal, I found myself playing with my ring nervously in my lap. Across from me was my date watching me intensely. He was waiting for my reaction. "Your eyes are dilated," he said. "What?" "Your eyes are dilated," he repeated. "What does that mean?" I asked. "It means something is making you very nervous. It's a fight or flight response," he said. I looked at him shocked. What was this guy doing? Analyzing me? It made me even more uncomfortable that he said this. "Actually, I thought it meant you were attracted to someone," I said with a smile on my face. "Not in this case," he said, still watching me intently. "I want you to feel like you can talk to me," he said after a few moments of us staring back and forth at each other. Damn. My eyes safely ventured to my melting Shirley Temple. After this intense Labor Day weekend, I had decided not to drink this week. This conversation, however, needed a glass of whiskey. A double, maybe. I took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and drew upon the gods to help me find the courage to say the words I so desperately needed to say. Up until this moment of my year and a half dating career, I had never gotten this far with anyone. "What are we?" I asked, fearing the response. It's like I already knew what he was going to say before he said it. I had to know nonetheless. "We're casually dating," he answered without hesitation. His eyes stayed fixed on me without blinking. "What does that mean exactly?" I wanted clarification. "It means we're not exclusive. We are free to meet other people. I'm not looking for anything else," he clarified. Bewildered, I sat there trying to wrap my mind around how quick and cold his answer was. It wasn't human. He was holding back, guarding himself from me. The gates were up. His heart was locked away in the high tower of the castle. Zero vulnerability visible. He was trying to hide behind the walls he had built up so high, trying to push me away before I got too close. He was scared. A part of me wanted to help him, to try harder, to show him love, but I knew I couldn't. He would have to overcome his fear and ego to make that conscious decision alone. Nothing I could say in that moment would or could change his mind. Change can only come when one wants to truly change. Regardless of understanding the psychology behind his response, this hit me harder than it should have. We had consistently been seeing each other every week since we had met on July 24th, 2021. That was nearly 2 months. 10 dates! The sex was incredible. The emotional connection was there too. The connection was there before the sex. We came from similar backgrounds, relationship-wise. He was in a relationship for 10 years. We understood each other on another level, or so it seemed. Yet him sitting across from me, telling me that after 2 months, he had no intention of building anything together with me, was so hurtful. He was telling me, I want to keep taking from you, but I never want to give you anything. I didn't want to feel like an object. I couldn't think of it that way. I just couldn't understand how I could continue to pursue anyone who did not regard me as a valued human being. Yet, I liked him. I liked him so much. It was painful. What does casual dating mean when it comes to intimacy? Sex? I asked out of breath with slight hesitation. I wasn't breathing properly. Well, I would hope you would be wearing condoms. We aren't exclusive, he replied. Oh, I said with nearly all the air knocked out of me. I was deflated. Because I haven't been with anyone, I said, almost ashamed. I looked away in the sun-kissed sky. I drifted away to the clouds for a moment. Anything to find some temporary peace from this shattering exchange. It's been a while for me, he said. A while? A while? What does that even mean? Last week? Wow. All of it was hitting me now. This is who the guy really is? Was the other guy I was seeing for 10 weeks just an illusion? A fantasy my mind made up? At this point, I was using every bone in my body to hold it together. Now, as I tell this story, I see the red flags. I want to take my summer 2021 self and shake her and show her what I know now. Tell her to get up out of that chair at Coconuts, throw a $20 bill on the table and walk away. I want to pull her out of that chair and drag her out of the restaurant, but I can't. You see, we learn from experiences. These moments shape who we are and who we become. I wouldn't be as strong as I am today had this man not shattered my entire view of love. This is how it all began. Saturday, July 24th, 2021. My divorce had finalized the day before on July 23rd, 2021. It was cause for celebration. My friend Laura and I ventured out to Miami to experience the Van Gogh exhibit. We also indulged in a fine dining experience at Toro Toro. On my way back, I heard from my dear coffee shop friend Sammy that she was going out with a group. Sammy was in law school at Stetson at the time. We had met months prior at the big communal table at our favorite coffee shop in Fort Lauderdale. Tonight, the plan was to meet at Booze Garden. In all honesty, I was slightly tired from the early evening adventure to Miami. Going to Miami always feels like an endeavor. I'm amazed I used to make that 45-minute commute to and from Miami every day a few years ago. When you have no need to venture to Miami, then it becomes a trek to go there. Don't get me wrong, Miami has its own appealing atmosphere. I did, in fact, live there in Coral Gables proper for a short while in my early design career. Fort Lauderdale, on the other hand, always felt like home. It's a nice in-between Palm Beach and Miami. The ambiance is casual yet lavish when it calls for it. In short, there's less Botox and butt lifts in Fort Lauderdale. Anyway, Sammy somehow got me to go out. I wasn't even supposed to go out tonight. Why did I go out then? Oh yes, that's right. I was celebrating my new title, Single Badass Boss Babe. The divorce had been finalized just the day before, and I was determined to enjoy my newly found freedom. Little did I know that it was this night, under the serendipitous circumstances, that I would meet him, the Tin Man. Why the Tin Man? In The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man had no heart. Hence the, if I only had a heart, spectacle. He was on a quest to find his heart. In comparison, this real-life Tin Man was so utterly broken that he had learned to shut off basic human emotions. He was like a machine, like artificial intelligence had been placed into human flesh. There were moments when I saw love and absolute joy in his eyes, yet when he would realize he was showing emotion, his face would fade back into a stoic state. He may have been fooling others, including himself, but I saw beyond the Tin Man facade. He was holding back. I don't know if the Tin Man had been like this his entire life or if he was made into this through trauma. Nevertheless, there he was. His Tin Man demeanor didn't strike me until 10 dates in. Then here we go. Booze Garden, Saturday night. The clientele consists of 20 to 30 somethings. The music for the most part dates back to the early 2000s. Blink-182, Red Hot Chili Peppers, etc. Definitely jams that premiered before half of the occupants of Booze Garden had been born. Did I feel old? No. Age is a state of mind. Most think I'm younger than my actual age anyway. I'm attracted to energetic souls because I myself have a vivacious soul. It's probably why I date younger men. Here we were at Booze Garden, downing peach high noons and screaming the words to some punk rock song. There was a group of us ladies. We were dancing and living our best hot girl summer. The summer night was hot. 80s with a high humidity index. It made having good hair impossible. As a lady here in South Florida, you just have to embrace the fact that your hair will be a ball of frizzy yarn by the end of the evening. I was wearing black Levi jean shorts and a high-necked spaghetti strap black top. My outfit was finished with high black wedges, smooth silky legs, and wavy hair. I was all legs, and I knew it. All roads lead to the wharf at the end of the night. That's exactly where we ended. As usual, the wharf was a scene. Our group of ladies were hanging by the center bar. A bachelorette group was decked out in fuchsia pink to our right. Two guys were in full football huddle right next to the bridal party. It appeared as though they were plotting on how to take over the bachelorette party. And I was watching them plan their attack as I sipped on my pineapple high noon, shaking my head. Pathetic. Entertaining nonetheless. Not sure if I was loud at this point, but I pointed them out to my friend Sammy and said, "Look at these guys. They're cooking up some plan to hit on those girls. They should honestly just say hi." "Just go say hi," I must have yelled at them. They didn't hear me. The music was cranked up high at the wharf, an outside bar in the Riverwalk of Fort Lauderdale. Then a random guy approached us to talk to our group. "Hey, I have friends," he said. "Okay," we all reply with a strange look on our faces. "Why don't you bring your friends over?" I replied. Before I could even finish the question, the guy sidestepped out of the group and walked away and never returned. And we were just standing there. We all had a look of, "What the fuck?" on our faces. Then another guy suddenly approached us and said, "You guys have to tell me what that guy just said, because the look on your face is priceless." And it was one of the guys from the football huddle. Maybe they weren't plotting for the bachelorette. Maybe they were plotting for us the entire time and that guy gave them the in. I would later joke with the Tin Man that the "I have friends" guy was really the third person in their group, that they sent him in. But the Tin Man would deny it. So the Tin Man starts talking to our group, and then him and I start talking individually. We start hitting it off instantly. We just had a natural attraction to each other. There was some crazy spark there. We were vibing so well that I just went and asked him what his sign was. Usually, I don't ask people what their signs are, especially men. They're weird about it. "April 15th, he replied. "Oh shit, you're an Aries." Then he replied, "Yeah, I'm an Aries." Then I got very close to him and whispered in his ear, "You're my Achilles heel," I said with a devilish look on my face. and he fucking loved that. I could tell by the look on his face, he had the largest grin. I made him wild. You could tell he was turned on. By the end of the night, which was only a half hour afterward because we stayed until the wharf closed, so it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we were still immersed in conversation. Our vibe was still going strong. My friends were heading home for the night, and I was just going to get in my car and go home. And then he said, "Let's get some pizza." "Pizza? I don't know any pizza places around here." And he knew of a really bad pizza place nearby called Sarpino's. I mean, it's not bad. It's a drunk pizza type of place. It's 3 in the morning. You get what you pay for. It's about convenience. It was a few blocks away from the wharf, so we walked, ordered the pizza, then we waited. And he was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and we were saying nothing, yet still talking somehow. And then he went in for the kiss. I felt myself blush a little. I couldn't stop smiling. Our pizza order was ready, so we picked it up and drove back to my apartment. And when we got to my building in Flagler Village, I realized I did not want this guy in my apartment. I just met him. I didn't know this dude. We shouldn't be alone together in my apartment. So I grabbed the pizza and we went and sat by the pool and devoured the pepperoni green pepper pizza. He had requested the green peppers. I mean, it's on my pizza, but I'll compromise. We're eating outside by the pool, and all of a sudden, my neighbor on the ground floor opened up his door. And I'm like, "Oh my God, there's someone else up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning? And maybe he had a late night too." So this guy ends up going in and out of his apartment several times. And at one point, he got some sort of book or magazine, and he started acting like he had a fire there. He was like fanning the fire. Like there was like a real fire in front of him. And he was jumping in and out of his apartment and beating on his chest like he was Tarzan, king of Flagler Village. Me and the Tin Man, we are sitting outside having that green pepper pizza and just like watching this guy thinking, "What the fuck is going on?" And I look over and say, "Hey, I don't know my neighbor, but this is really freaking me out." And he was like, "No, this is hilarious. This is good. This is real good." So we kept watching my neighbor, and it felt like if we kept watching him, we would become character witnesses for some sort of crime. Because if he ends up jumping in the pool, I'm going to feel obligated to go save him at some point. And I didn't want that kind of responsibility. So we ended up going back into my apartment. By this time, I felt incredibly comfortable with the Tin Man. It was so late, and he wasn't going to go home. It was 4 in the morning. So we ended up snuggling in bed. Chewy, my Yorkie, jumped in bed with us and got in on the snuggle action too. And the Tin Man was very respectful. He didn't even try to make a move on me. And I thought that was really nice. That night, we fell asleep in each other's arms. It was perfect. He was perfect. He was everything I wanted at that moment. Until I realized instead of dating a tech entrepreneur, I was really dating the technology. I was straight up dating Siri. There you have it. Until next story, this is Rachel Ash signing off.